2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7. Verse number 7. Amen. And it says, Paul writing, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations." And my goodness, God gave him so much insight and so much information. And he became the most prolific writer in all of the New Testament. Under the thumb of the Roman Empire, he writes some of the most profound revelation of truth and revelation of Jesus Christ. And he said, you know, I'm not going to be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, not by God, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he, the Lord, said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, this is Paul, most gladly, say gladly.
Gladly.
Okay. Most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, some of the struggles that I'm having, I'll boast in them, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure. There's an attitude for you, right? I take pleasure in infirmities. Bring it. That's what he's saying. Bring it. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs. When I'm challenged, when I've got a struggle, when there's a battle, when there's an obstacle, when I'm rebuked and refused, in persecutions, in distresses, when I'm under great pressure for Christ's sake, that I can identify with him is my honor and my privilege. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Praise God. Father, thank you. Thank you for healing in this service. And thank you that dark spirits are dispelled by the presence of the Lord. And anything that would hinder your people in body or emotion or in spirit, be gone in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This is an incredible truth, kingdom values. Lord willing, there may be a couple more in this series. And before I get to that, I have to say, I love the worship God has given us at Calvary Christian Center. These amazing worship services and times of refreshing, ushered into his presence in the morning, in the evening. And hear this carefully. Our status does not matter. Our finances do not matter. Our race doesn't matter. Our education doesn't matter. You see, when the high priest was ready to go into the Holy of Holies, Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, he began to disrobe himself. And anything that represented his abilities and his status and his position, he removed it. And he submitted himself to enter the presence of the Lord. I need to preach that. And where we are tonight, nothing matters but God. And all the glory goes to the Lord God Most High, no matter who we are, what we think we are, what we have or don't have, what the color or tones of our skin. All the glory goes to God Most High. Because we just come to him on equal ground. What illuminated the mercy seat now illuminates us in his glory. The King is here. That's all that matters. Amen? The King is here. It's all that matters. And when we praise the Lord, we're encouraged by Him to pray, to lift up our hands, to clap our hands, to kneel, to stand, to sing. I can't remember reading anywhere in the scripture where it says just go down, go sit down and worship the Lord. It tells us to do all kinds of other things. We must learn to engage the Lord in celebration. If you have breath in your body, praise the Lord. Celebrate. Thank the Lord. Celebrate. Because unlike the high priest who had to be extremely cautious of his presentation on entering the Holy of Holies, now we have a high priest who's taking care of that for us. And we can go in boldly to the throne. Amen? We get to celebrate. So I've been speaking about kingdom values, and I want to do for just a few minutes tonight. I want to speak about his grace for kingdom service. Kingdom service. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. In Ephesians 4, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of God's gift. To each one of us grace was given. Ephesians 3, to me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. We are saved by grace, His strength. And the goodness of God came to me and bestowed favor I did not deserve. And that's why this table becomes so meaningful. He's brought Himself to us when we did not deserve it. Grace gives us opportunity we never deserved. His grace gives me power to become a child of God. I have power to become. And as I become a child of God, I'm in the process of continuing to become a child of the living God. But I have to use it. What God's placed in my hands, I have to use it. Because what Paul was praying for help in weakness, and some commentators say it was his sight that was failing. Others say it had to do with other issues, a thorn in the flesh, such as the pain and the crippling issues he had because of the number of beatings that he took. His body was somewhat dysfunctional in terms of flexibility. And so much so, Paul prayed three times for deliverance, three times for relief. And God indicated to Paul, deliverance was not going to come immediately because God wanted to manifest himself in a different way for this time in Paul's life. God helps us to identify weakness in our lives where he can manifest his strength. God doesn't perfect his strength in strength. He perfects his strength in our weakness. He pours his grace into us and manifests his strength. What you get to see for his glory is his power. When we think, I have this, he doesn't manifest his power. But when we are weak and we admit it, he finds a place to reveal his power. So we are born again, and because of that, we have his favor. We don't have to pretend we are strong because we carry a limp like Jacob before he became Israel. God wants us to learn when he touches the hollow of our hip, we will always, always have to lean over on him. Always. I don't want to walk so upright that I act like I don't need God to depend on. Something happened causing us to lean upon him. Amen? And there are some here tonight that believe that God can do abundantly above, exceedingly above, in spite of, no matter what you're facing, what the challenge, because you simply believe God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Some have come to the place where they know God wants to exceed our expectations. We believe God has unmerited favor, strength, something we do not deserve, that rests upon us because we are his children, members of his kingdom. We didn't qualify for it, but we had wisdom to know we need God to express his perfection in our weakness. So I'm ready to go somewhere I've never been before. Amen? I said, I'm ready to go somewhere I've never been before. And that's what God's calling us to. There is enough grace tonight to take us where we have never been. And we need to shake off any fear of that and discomfort that brings us and say, with you, God, let's go. Let's go. There's enough grace here to raise up every sick body. There's enough grace in this house that can cancel every financial need. There's enough grace in this house wherever weakness was, we can give it an eviction notice. Amen? When God moves in, everything considered weakness moves to the side. Give God glory because we know how weak we are, but we know how strong he is. Celebrate that. You might have crawled into this house. You will run out of this house. You might have walked in depressed. You will leave here laughing and enjoying life. Amen. Whatever weakness is manifested in your life, I know this. The Spirit of the Lord is coming on strong tonight. He is not against you. He has not abandoned you. He is right in the middle of your weakness. If you'll acknowledge that I'm weak, but you're strong. Instant response. See, there is to be no competition in the kingdom of God. It's not the way it works. There is a measure of grace bestowed to each of us by God's choice. And we're not here to compete. There are those who can do what others cannot. Some have the grace to play keyboards like Donna can, Shelly can, to sing like Pastor Michael and his team. I've learned to remain in my lane of grace. Amen? That's right. Right. And everyone should work to perfect what God graced you to do. No devil can prevent us from walking in our area of grace. Discover your area of grace and walk in that. There's no weapon formed against you that can stop you when you're in your lane of grace. When the enemy charges in, the Spirit of the Lord steps in and lifts up the flag of victory for you. Are you ready for your next measure of grace? There's grace on you to do what you do. God gave you grace to do what you do. I cannot do what I do without his grace on my life. And I've spoken to God about my weaknesses, and I've let him know, if you don't show up, if you don't manifest your strength, done. Done. Paul likened himself as the least of all the saints. I read it to you. He recognized he didn't do anything to deserve what God had bestowed upon him. And it was all by grace. I read it to you. By grace, God gave him revelation. By grace. Calvary Christian Center, by grace, I am here. Tonight, you'll receive stuff that you didn't deserve by the grace of God. We walked in here, might not have felt up to praising, but we did it anyway because we didn't go by feeling. We go by the command of God's word to do what he asks. And in his presence, you are blessed with kingdom grace. When you respond to God in obedience, kingdom grace is bestowed on you. And where God's grace manifests, everything changes. Everything. When we get beyond our place of comfort, it is good. That's good. That's what Paul was writing when he penned the words from my text. He said, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. He looked to get out of that moment where everything was the way he wanted it, and he was undercover, and he was ducking away from anything that was coming that would make him uncomfortable. Some have been too comfortable for too long and never seen how magnificent the grace of God is when we step out of comfort. Amen? That's when God's grace shows up. Amen. When we go beyond our place of comfort, it's good. It's when the grace of God manifests. When we cross that comfort line is when the grace of God appears. I don't know what line you have to step over. Whatever it is for you in your life, His grace is there to greet you when you step over that line out of your comfort and you fall right into His arms. Amen? It might be be a line of your thinking. It might be right here. This is where your struggle is with that comfort. It might be a line of the way you like to do stuff. And God says, no, it's not going to be the way you like to do it. This is what I want you to do. It might be a line of cooperating and learning to fellowship and working together. It might be a line of how you do life. I do know this. As soon as you cross that line, His grace is ready to meet you. So how many are ready to be greeted by grace? And some have prayed, God, give me favor. And you pray the prayer of Jabez, and Lord, be favorable to me. God's favor, His grace is standing on the other side of the comfort line. And if you get closer, you will receive an embrace. So let Pastor say, there is supernatural favor tonight ready to be released over Calvary Christian Center. It's membership, it's leaders, the fellowship. Why? Because we're ready to cross that line. Tell somebody, I am crossing the line. Amen? Crossing the line. You can't measure the people who walk in kingdom grace. You can't measure them. There's no way to put some kind of a stick next to the measure because the grace of God is manifested. It is without measure, right? Everybody wants to measure your life. And they kind of put you in this. People try to figure you out. And you have to go back to university. No, even they wouldn't be able, not in the universities of today in our culture, they wouldn't be able to figure it out at all. They don't understand that what God wants to do in this next generation coming behind us, students who need to be in church on Sunday, they're the ones God has designated to catch fire and ignite our community and set a flame alive in our nation. They're going to usher in a wave of God's grace in our schools, in our community, in our church. They're going to be a part and parcel to what God's trying to do in these days. So don't you wish we could all just catch fire at one time and watch God do something incredible? Just nudge the person next to you. Just nudge them. Just kind of give them a little elbow. All right? Good. Yeah. A little harder. That's good. There's something contagious about that when you did that, because I'm looking at all of you that did that. It's called grace. Did you see how they're all smiling? Right? Even though they didn't want to, they smiled because there's grace on you when you did that. Right? There's grace on you. And when you touch them, something happened because there is a grace on you to shift even your neighbor. Yeah, even by doing that, there's a nudge on you to shift your neighbor, and that nudge of grace can shift an entire community into a position where God can do something incredible in our neighborhoods. Don't wait on your row to get happy while seated there on your row. You just get happy where you are and let it spread. Let it spread. And some have thought when they've looked at your life that you were out. No, you're in. Why? Because grace says so. Grace says you're in. Makes no difference who counts you out. If grace says you're in, you ought to celebrate that. I'm in by the grace of God. We didn't pick grace. Grace picked us. And be alert, kingdom grace is here. And the same grace that brought me to Jesus for salvation, that same grace will apply His kingdom favor in my life here on earth. So kingdom grace doesn't just save me. Kingdom grace assists me to navigate life. When Saul was converted to Paul, the early church initially was skeptical of him. They resisted him. Why? Because he'd just been the guy arresting them and putting their loved ones in prison and seeing to it they were put to death for preaching Jesus. He was in the middle of a great persecution against the church. So when he comes over and he says, "Now I'm one of you now," then, yeah, sure, You want to infiltrate our services and you want to start arresting everybody. They resisted him. When you know there is resistance around you, you better learn to walk in kingdom grace. Paul had to early learn that in his life, to walk in kingdom grace. Don't worry about resistance and obstacles. Learn to depend on the grace of our Lord. His kingdom grace is sufficient for you. It means you are favorable to God. And all it takes is one individual to partner with you. Where two agree under the grace of God, it becomes explosive. Two people are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. So Jesus put it like this: I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Get in agreement with people of kingdom faith. It will bring God's favor into your life. To your neighbor, do what you do because you do it so well. Amen? Tell your neighbor, do what you do because you do it so well. Amen. Be who you are in the anointing that God granted to you. Let the church be the church. When the church does this together as one, it's unstoppable. It's the most powerful force on the planet. Strive to impress only one person. Don't do what you do to impress people around you. No, strive to impress only one person, King of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one I want impressed. Jesus had to go to the lowest place during the 3 days after his crucifixion. Jesus had to go to the lowest place because he was going to the highest place. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. And what now? He has sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Amen? There is a measure of kingdom grace on your life. You've been complaining about how low you've been, how difficult life is, and the struggles, and trying to paddle along in life. And this is an announcement about how high you are going. Amen? That little dip in your life does not measure up to the height of the place God wants to take you. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You get to sit down with him and get ready for a rearrangement of your position in Christ. In the moments I didn't know how, and I didn't know where, and I didn't know when, God showed up. And whenever God shows up, he shows out. He gets on display. When God shows up, he gets on display. Get yourself ready. God's about to show himself mighty in your life. It's called his grace. Sufficient. More than enough to take care of it. So number one, grace is the favor of God that saved us. In spite of the crazy stuff we've done, he saved us from the crazy stuff we've done. Amen? And here's an announcement. He saves us from the crazy stuff we will do. Grace is there for all the not-so-smart decisions we make while we are in Christ. Amen? You might think you're like good and all of that, but you need just as much grace as anybody else. We've got to have it. And the Holy Spirit wants to stimulate our minds in ways we haven't thought of before, because he has creative thoughts that are not ours. They're higher and different than ours, and he wants to get our attention so he can stimulate those things in us. So all of a sudden we get revelation, we get insight, we get wisdom, we get exactly what we need for something we can't seem to overtake or tackle. The Holy Spirit wants to give us the mind of Christ, the revelation of who he is, not the mind of the world, not the mind of the culture and its dictation. He desires to give us the mind of Christ. And the grace of God will come on someone's mind, and you get to think in ways you've never thought before. And your first inclination will be, no, that's not in my normal, no, stop thinking that and go, where are you going with this? Because that's where I want to go. You really want, yes, let's go. Okay, let's go. Number two, kingdom grace applied to weakness will perfect God's strength. No human reasoning can figure this out. This is not logical. This is not mathematical. This is not something that you can juggle around in your head and come to some conclusion. No, no human reason can figure this out. When grace comes on a matter or an issue or on a person, get ready. When kingdom grace appears, what you thought you made happen, you realize, no, God is making this happen. God is in control of this. God is taking this somewhere. I believe something is happening in your life that will shift you just a little bit, and you'll realize God was doing that all the time. God's been orchestrating your life all of the time. And some of us know we should have been dead or in an institution, but we're praising God because of the grace of God. Yeah. Take a moment and do that. Amen. When we might have died, grace showed up and told hell and death, step aside. Thank you, Lord. Amen? When we might have died, grace showed up and told hell and death, step aside. Is there anybody here who knows it was grace that stopped that car wreck from taking you out? Anybody know? And if God hadn't helped you, my goodness, you would have been T-boned, you would have been hurt, you might have died. Who was telling me the other day, they come up on an intersection, and it was their turn to go through the intersection, and they were watching this lady. I think it was Angela that was telling us that story. And this lady in her SUV, she's got her face buried in her phone, coming on the four-way stop. So, okay, ticket number one, right? Blowing through the stop sign, ticket number two. Injuring somebody because you T-boned them, maybe taking their life. Ooh, big problem, number three. And the Holy Spirit nudged her just enough to say, don't go, stop, was this other went right through the stop sign. And then looked around and went, it was grace that stopped that incident from taking you out. As it was kingdom grace that felled the giant, that stopped the mouths of lions around Daniel. It was kingdom grace that delivered you. Celebrate. Say grace.
Grace.
Amen. Grace. So we're not looking for a reason to do wrong. No, we don't go looking for reasons to do wrong. We want God's presence to show up and pour his kingdom grace upon us. Is there anybody here tonight ready for God to do you right? Amen. I believe God can do me right. I believe God can help me when I can't help myself. I believe God will show up when I don't have anyone to show up on my behalf. His grace will step in. That's the God I serve. And I sense some circumstances, situations, infirmities. They're going to have to bow tonight in the presence of kingdom grace. Nothing we've done, it's what He's done. My wife and I were motorcycle owners and riders. I say we're because our bikes, we loved them. They were fantastic. And I'd still have one. I'd like to still have one. We had to offload ours because they got to the point where they didn't have parts left for them anymore. So we had to let them go. And that was heartbreaking because, listen, there's nothing like jumping on that machine, man, and springtime. Flowers are blooming. Fragrance, freedom. You hear that roar. Yeah, that engine, it's powerful. Still wish I had one. Yeah, can you tell? I was riding in the springtime of the year in Illinois, and they didn't have a helmet law. But I wore one because, you know, you had to be kind of smart. But it was so beautiful that day, I took it off. I said, well, you know, I'm going to smell everything. I wanted to, you know. And kind of like I enjoyed having that bike, and it still would. You know, I felt the spring breeze in my head and my hair. And I had hair, too. I had a bike and I had hair. It's good. And came up on a four-way intersection. No, it was not a four-way, it was a stoplight, actually. It was a stoplight intersection. I was on Highway 21, find it on the Google, going down Highway 21 from Gurnee, Illinois, down into Vernon Hills, Illinois. Beautiful area, country, very beautiful homes. The smell of the flowers. Just in the meadows all around, just beautiful. And so as I came into that intersection was kind of at an angle, and it wasn't perpendicular. It was kind of angled. And so for me to go through the intersection on the green light, I had to roll the bike over a little bit to my left and then catch the road as it continued south. So as I came into the intersection and rolled it to the left, I looked down and I saw coming into the intersection. I hadn't seen it because generally you see these things, your obstacles in the road, and you avoid them. And I saw this clear liquid in the middle of the center of the intersection, like somebody took a brand spanking new can of motor oil and just dumped it. And it just spread out all there. And as I approached it, because it was already into it before I could react, I said, this is not going to be good. And because I'm rolling the bike and the wheels begin to go out on that slick oil, and I look to my right and come in the other direction is a semi, 18-wheeler, and he's rolling. And I know, okay, if once I go down, I'm going to have to get out from under the bike because this guy will roll right over me and I won't be here tomorrow. So these are things that are going through my mind that's just that fast, right? And so I roll. And the peg hits the ground, and the bike bounces. And I know I'm done. I'm over the center of gravity. There's nothing I can do with the bike. You got a 350-pound machine and 200-pound guy on top of it, and you're past the center of gravity. You're not pulling that bike out. And right up off the ground, the bike gets picked up and straightened out in a flash. And I was so like, what just happened? Shocked, because I could hear the scrape of the peg on the ground. Now all of a sudden I'm upright. And I was trying to compensate as I was going down this way, and I'm torquing as much as I can. So when this thing flips up, I'm so torquing it, I go over totally on the other side. And the peg hits the ground on the other side. And the very same thing happened. That bike comes totally up perpendicular and breezes right on through the intersection. Anybody here been on motorcycles? Anybody ever rolled over on your peg? You know what the next thing is, right? You're on the ground. You're under the machine. And I got off my bike, stunned, because I got no helmet on. I know what was going to happen to my noggin. That wasn't going to be pretty. And Pastor Doug was behind me on his bike. And I looked at him and I said, did you just see what happened? Was I dreaming what just happened? Did that just happen? He goes, yeah. He said, it was like somebody just came up behind you and picked the bike up like this. And then when you went over, it just picked it up and pushed you right through the intersection. And I felt it. I mean, I felt it. I felt the weight, my own weight and the weight of that bike get picked up two times going through that intersection in just a split second time. That's called grace. I didn't do a thing. I just hung on for the ride and prayed for the best. And don't you ever tell me that angels aren't at work today. I can tell you, number one, they're around and they watch you. Number two, they've got incredible strength. Number three, they can absolutely change the course of what's going on in your life in a flash. That happened to me because it came to my attention then, there's something I want this guy to do. Don't let that happen to him. Not today, devil. It's not happening today. I don't know how many times you've ever had a near miss, but it's when grace showed up and you didn't know how. And how many times did kingdom grace show up when you even weren't aware that it had? You had no knowledge that it had shown up. Grace showed up, picked me up on a 350-pound machine, a 200-pound rider, and saved the day. And I didn't, why? I didn't miss my appointment here at Calvary Christian Center because I would have been squashed that day in that intersection. Grace will make sure you don't miss your appointment here tonight at the table of the Lord. Grace will be sure to take care of you. And thank God tonight because you did not miss your appointment with Kingdom Grace. Thank God you are here tonight by appointment for Kingdom Grace. For who are you, O great mountain of human obstacles? Before Zerubbabel, who with Joshua had led the return of the exiles from Babylon and was undertaking the rebuilding of the temple before him, O great mountain, you shall become a plain, was the prophetic word, a mere molehill, and he shall bring forth the finishing gable stone of the new temple with loud shoutings of the people crying, grace, grace to it. Amen. And listen to me. God is building for himself a house. It's called his church. We're a part of his great kingdom. And grace, grace to it. Because God's got favor for his people. Do you believe in the power of God's kingdom grace? God's been good to us. This table is a witness to God's goodness to us in our lives. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, you heavenly hosts. And I know they're real. And praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I recall those moments when I stepped out of my comfort zone and stepped right into the arms of Kingdom Grace. And everyone here, there's at least one moment you can give God praise for. At least one moment in your life, you know, if it had not been for the grace of God. Amen? You ran out of your strength and you stepped right into his strength. Are you grateful tonight? Are you grateful? Yeah. So Paul writes, let me read it again. So, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, Paul said, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This table reminds me of what it costs God to give us his kingdom grace. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things he has done. By his power, he's raised me. Amen. His blood has saved me. To God be the glory. Anybody here ready to receive some kingdom grace? You need a miracle? You need direction for healing? Direction in your life? For provision? For restoration? Stretch yourself and reach to the grace of God. Step out of your comfort zone. You see, you can get so used to pain, it's your normal, and it's actually a comfort to you, to the pain of the circumstance that you find yourself in. But are you ready for a breakthrough to come out of that? There's no security in that mess. Amen? You step out of that, stretch yourself out onto the grace of God and trust him to bless you. So Paul goes on to write, so when we bless the cup at the Lord's table, aren't we sharing in the blood of Christ? And when we break the bread, aren't we sharing in the body of Christ? And though we are many, we all eat from one loaf of bread, showing we are one body. One body. Let's lift our hands. Express our faith in King Jesus. And let kingdom grace be applied to you as we step to the table of the Lord. And trust him in these great kingdom values. There are times of difficulty and times of struggle and times of battle. And sometimes we think we don't need any of those. We shouldn't have to have any. Yes, we do have to have them because they push us into the grace of God and they push us into the arms of the Lord, who shows his strength in our weakness and reminds us this is not done because of who we are. This is not done because we're something. This is done because he's something else. Amen? Those that are serving, would you please take your positions? Let's get our hearts.